Okay, Romans 1:1 in our continuation of the study of the book of Romans. We're on our third study today. Get an introduction. Last week we almost covered all of verse 1, so we'll finish up verse 1 today. Hopefully finish verse 2. Let's just read the first several verses. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among whom are ye also, the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to call the first 7 verses, much like the first 5 verses from Galatians, for the rest of our studies. Could you be timekeeper, please, 45 minutes from where we are? And so that's through verse 7. However, we're going to also grab verse 11, where he says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." The purpose of the book of Romans. And then verses 15 and 16, the theme. "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Okay, the theme of the book of Romans right there. So that's how we'll pretty much start it each time. Verses 1 and 2 again. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. We talked a lot about that. Called to be an apostle. We talked a lot about that. Separated. We talked a lot about that. Today we're going to talk about unto the gospel of God, parentheses, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Those, the end of verse 1 and verse 2, a lot of grace people get a little concerned by that. Because when you think about it, and let's go back to our almost completed timeline up there. Okay, so when the book of Acts picks up, Acts 9, Paul is saved. Acts 13, the first time we have an accounting of Paul preaching. Acts 20 is when he writes the book of Romans. The first book that shows up in your Bible after the book of Romans. We had Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the book of Acts, then Romans. And the first time we're being introduced to the grace message in the Bible. And people say, well, wait a minute, gospel of God, isn't that what, Peter preached, gospel of God? And then parentheses, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And Steve, you keep saying from Acts 9 on is a thing called mystery. It goes unto the rapture of the church, at which time we go back to prophecy, just as we had all back here, prophecy. Clear up until the cross. Okay, all of this being a period of prophecy, right? And even the beginning of the book. So I'm going to bring that right to here, Acts 9. Because remember, Acts 2, when Peter stands up in Acts 2, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, right? So that's a period of prophecy as well. And then when Paul, and he said, okay, so Paul's period is mystery, such as, we're in the book of Romans, go to chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. After he's tried to close the book 3 or 4 times, he closes it again in verse 25, Romans 16, verse 25. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Okay, Paul's saying, whoa, it's a mystery. It's not revealed till out here in Acts 20. It's a mystery. But back there in verse 2 of chapter 1, he said, which had promised before by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. What's going on here? Ephesians 3, right? Also talking about the dispensation of the grace of God being a mystery. Okay, so what's going on here in Romans 1:1 and 1:2? Separated unto the gospel of God, parentheses. He wants it to stand out, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, end of parentheses, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, well, so a couple of things we want to look at here today in this first hour. So, separated unto the gospel of God. All right? I think we said last time we're going to talk about, you can find 9 or 10 different gospels in the Bible. And we're going to break these gospels up into a couple of categories here. But pretty much you've got some gospels dealing with Israel. You have some gospels dealing with the body. And you have some transdispensational.
TD.
TD, thank you. Got it. Touchdown, Alabama. TD. Transdispensational. I like that. So transdispensational. Okay, so let's look at a couple of these. First of all, in Israel's program, okay, you're going to see several here. We've got the gospel of the kingdom. We've got the gospel of the circumcision. Okay, and we also have... the Bible calls it the everlasting gospel. Okay, so very much too foreign about Israel. Okay, these gospels, gospel of the kingdom, gospel of the circumcision, and then the everlasting gospel. In the body, Paul's doctrine, church which is the body of Christ, we have, actually let me put this in a different order here. We have the gospel of the grace of God. Well, you can even feel that stuff in your throat. We have the gospel of the grace of God. We have the gospel of the uncircumcision. Okay, and then we also have, Paul refers to it as my gospel. All right, then transdispensational, and especially Romans 1:1 there, where he's talking about the gospel of God. So the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, and the gospel of peace. Okay, so if you went to esword.net, you know, any one of your Bible programs, and just did a word search and you put gospel of, show me all verses that have the phrase gospel of. Now there's like 32 or 33 verses that'll pop up, but these are the different gospels that'll show up. And actually a tenth one that we'll also add in here is a... You'll know where this one was after the book we just studied. Perversion of the gospel of Christ. As in Galatians 1, verse 6. This gospel is a, which is not another, but a perversion of the gospel of Christ, right? And we're studying that back in the book of Galatians. Excuse me. And just for the sake of the tape, we were talking before we started this morning.
Galatians 1:7.
Thank you very much. We've had some unbelievable storms here in the Boston area, and all of the counts, whether it's mold, ragweed, or whatever, are just through the roof. So, throat's kind of going this morning. Besides that, we had an air conditioning duct run into the store last night, and I just thought it was all the fiberglass or something in here. Could be that too, who knows? I know, didn't even know that, right? Too much information? Because it went from, I guess he took the duck that was there. Okay. There was a duck right there. That's what he did. He just ran the whole thing over. Okay. Anyway, you can edit that from the tape. Okay, so different gospels, okay, in different categories. And let's take a look now so at these different gospels, because the end of verse 1, they're separated unto the gospel of God. Okay, all these different gospels, okay, and transdispensational, especially gospel of God. Now, we say many times, you know, gospel of God is basically that Christ is the Christ, the Son of the living God, just as Peter said. But when you see Paul use it as well, as in here, you know, that is, the gospel of God is the foundation of all gospels. I'll use a different color here. And this doesn't go with the Old Testament, I'm just looking for space on the board, okay? But the foundation is gospel of God, that Christ is the Son of the living God. The next gospel that's based on that is the gospel of Christ, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, was buried and raised again the third day. And then the gospel of the grace of God is built on that. It's take the gospel of Christ and now send it to the world. Send it to anybody and everybody. You don't have to be aligned with Israel. And that's the first time in your Bible that happens. And so we kind of do that as a pyramid, each one being built on the one before. Okay? Questions on that? Remember seeing that? Okay? So when you see gospel of God, also get the whole context. Just as in Romans 1, when we get to 15 and 16, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So that's the whole context right there, is gospel of Christ. Okay? So gospel of God, gospel of Christ, gospel of peace, being transdispensational. Gospel of peace you can even bring back to Moses, you know, gospel, good news. And when they were doing what God had commanded them to do, they could be at peace with God. Okay? Now, gospel of the kingdom. Let's just go through these real quick here. Gospel of the kingdom. If we were to go back to Matthew, let's go back to Matthew chapter 4. Actually, while we're going back to Matthew, let's go to 1. I think just a question that had come up last week or a week before, Matthew 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Just wanted to grab that phrase right there, the son of David. So yes, Christ is called the son of David. He's called the son of Abraham. Okay? But we're going to get the gospel of the kingdom here. So in chapter 4, verse 17, actually let's hit 3 first. Matthew chapter 3. verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now let's come to chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's preaching that kingdom gospel just as John the Baptist did. Verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. There we go, gospel of the kingdom. And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. The kingdom. Okay, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Come to Acts chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 1. And right there in verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And then right after he answers the question, he ascends into heaven. Okay? So, back here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're looking for the, you know, actually all through the Old Testament, they're looking for that lamb, the kingdom on earth. Christ comes. Okay, great. Here's our king. Right, Matthew, looking at him as the king. He's going to be our king. And that's why the people get upset when it's obvious he's not that type of earthly king that they were looking for. So they crucify him. He's resurrected. He's with the 12. Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom? No, it's not for you to know. Peter starts preaching, Acts 2. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. What's that? The 7 years. They're getting ready for it. The kingdom. For the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth. They know He's going to come back in 7 years. Now they're getting it. And when He does, He's going to set up the kingdom. Okay, so the kingdom doctrine, the kingdom gospel. And that's exactly what's been going on here. That's a covenant that He made way back here with David. Okay, the gospel of circumcision He makes with Abraham. Gospel of the kingdom is the covenant that He made with David. Okay? And David's going to come and sit on the throne out here during that 1,000-year reign. Okay? We've just got different kingdoms going on. So just put them all together. So gospel of the kingdom. Gospel of the circumcision. Of course, we can go there to look at the gospel of the circumcision. One of the best places to look. And we won't go there. We've gone there plenty of times. Genesis chapter 12. I'll bless them that bless thee. I'll curse them that curse thee. I'm going to give you the land. Okay? And all you're going to be a blessing. Outnumber the stars of the sky. Sand in the seashore. And He's going to give them the land. So that's what they've all been looking for. When Moses takes them out of Egypt, they're going to the land which He had prepared for them. Right?
Quick question.
Quick question. Somebody get that down. It's a quick question.
When we die or get taken up, when it's time, the rapture happens, we get a spiritual body. What happens to the people that get the land? They have like a fleshly body?
Okay. So I've got to answer that in two parts, because at the rapture, nothing happens to them yet. It's not till the end of the 7 years. So let's back up. Three inheritances going on here. Okay? The church, which is the body of Christ. Okay, that's anybody that's saved today becomes a member of the church, which is the body of Christ. They have believed and gone to an active trust. Their belief, Ephesians 1:13, you got that word belief in there, and trust. They believe the gospel, but now they've trusted in it, that when the Lord Jesus Christ hung on that cross, He died for our sins. According to Scriptures, was buried, took those sins to hell, on the third day was raised again for our justification. Anybody that's trusted in that alone becomes a member of the church, which is the body of Christ. Right here is our day of redemption, the rapture. We are redeemed. We go to be with the Lord forever. Okay? That's inheritance one. Inheritance two. Okay, so then begins that 7-year period of great tribulation. The return of the Lord, I'll make that red too. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth. And now there's going to be two more inheritances that will happen here. So, Old Testament saints. Old Testament saints will be resurrected here into the land. Okay, that's where they are resurrected.
Earthly
with
bodies.
The bodies that they had before?
I don't know that it would be their body before. I just know they're resurrected. That's what I do know.
Well, so that means that those people from before are in the ground.
Their soul is asleep.
In the ground.
Their soul, this is Luke 16 back here. Lazarus, okay, when he looks across that great gulf, and can, you know, he's asleep. I'm going to say the center of the earth. And he looks across the gulf into the fire, and he sees the rich man over there. Excuse me, it's the other way around. The rich man wakes up in hell. He looks across the gulf, and he sees Lazarus asleep in Abraham's bosom. Okay? And Lazarus is in hell. He's in torment. Let's go there. Luke 16.
You say Lazarus in hell, in torment?
I'm sorry. Thank you. The rich man in hell, in torment. Lazarus is sleeping peacefully. That's why I'm seeing some. Let's still go there.
I think we need to.
I think we need to. It's in the scripture for sure. Luke 16, verse 19. When in doubt, just read the words. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Sounds like Matthew, doesn't it? Where that lady, the woman there, the Gentile woman, said, "True, of a truth, Master, but even the dogs can eat of the crumbs from the Master's table," just like here. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Okay, now that wouldn't be his physical body. That would be his soul. Okay, goes into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." He's already in hell. And that would be true today too. Somebody dies today, having rejected the gospel of Christ, and they die, they go to hell immediately.
No sleep.
No sleep. If they die being saved, it's soul sleep. They go to sleep. Until this event, they're asleep. 1 Thessalonians 4, those that are asleep in Christ. Okay? So we would be asleep until that time. So back to Luke 16 here. Verse 25. But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receives thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now, he is comforted, and now are tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Then, you know, and then he goes on and on. So you get the idea here. So, Old Testament saints resurrected here to that land that they were always looking for back here. Now, New Testament saints, you know, there's going to be a Bible says there's 144,000 out here that are going to die in testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ during the trip. Okay, so they die before the second coming. those people, and I believe that this is also going to cover the people after the cross in this time period, that have died, they have to die as in Paul going after those people. They died testifying for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? There's the heavenly city, New Jerusalem. Heavenly City, New Jerusalem, HCNJ, which would be a second inheritance. That's for these 144,000. Okay? And I'm kind of looking here. Thanks. Okay? They had to have died for Christ, witnessing for Christ. And this is where the 12 apostles will be sitting on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, as in Matthew 19 or 16. Okay? We're not going to turn there, but you know, when Peter says, you know, Lord, we have forsaken all, what's our reward? So Matthew 16 is where he's given the keys to the kingdom. Matthew 19 is where he says that ye 12, which have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, so that's it right there. That heavenly city, New Jerusalem. That's why in Acts chapter 1, the first thing they had to do was get that replaced, the 12th apostle, Matthias. Okay, so they have 12 to sit on 12 thrones. Wow, my voice going. Okay, so three inheritances. One, the land. Second, heavenly city, New Jerusalem. These people will be able to look up and see that city. It's described in Revelation, 1,500 cubits. By 1,500 cubits by 1,500 cubits. Like a perfect cube. You know, I don't know why, but that's what it says. Doesn't matter why. The Bible says it. That settles it. Therefore, I believe it. People used to say, well, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. No, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. The Bible says it, that settles it. Will you believe it? Anyway, the land, heavenly city, New Jerusalem, we're the body of Christ. Okay, three inheritance. Now let me come back. Did that answer your question? No. It took a long time.
Well, I know the heavenly throne, that the throne, being that it's in heaven, it has to be a spiritual body. But the land, is it land?
It's a physical earth, land, yeah. On earth.
So
absolutely.
If it's physical land on earth, then the body would be physical, not spiritual.
They will have a physical body. That is correct. They will have a physical body.
Unlike us and the throne. I mean, the heavenly.
Bail me out, brother.
Would it be that they had resurrected to life to receive their inheritance? They'd be resurrected into a body.
Right.
Wouldn't it be a glorified body, though?
That's what I thought.
I was just trying to think of where to go to pull that.
Yeah, and I'm not sure, but I'm.
Yes, I'm with you.
You know, because it's 1,000 years.
Right.
And in your natural body, you ain't going to make no 1,000 years,
right,
at this point.
And that's why they're going to have to go back to that tree of life again during that time period. They've got to go back every year, tree of life, to nourish that body.
Yeah, so. And so there's kind of. You kind of split hairs there on whether it would actually be glorified because of, you know, tree of life for healing and everything. And there's still death during that time, too, because death isn't swallowed up till the end.
Yeah, they don't go. That's right.
So there's kind of, you could kind of go either way on whether it was glorified to live that long, or would it be more of a natural and you got to maintain it and keep it up, and then they are allowed to live that long. I don't.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I don't know any scripture that would back up.
I don't know where it says anything about it being glorified at that time, but it leans towards having to be physical.
Yes. It would be physical.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely physical.
It would be physical, and it is, and it calls it a resurrection.
And that right there says you're resurrecting the dead into life.
Yes.
In a physical body.
in a physical body.
So it's not.
But the question coming back to you is, was it their original one? I don't know anything that would say it was their original one.
But so also, it also says that we would be with the Lord. So if the Lord is on the land,
we don't know what it looks like.
Is on his throne, yes.
If he's in a 100,000-year in the land, we would also be there?
We're wherever he is, yes.
Okay.
Yep. That is correct. Then at the end of that 1,000 years is when we have the new heavens and new earth, everything, and there's nothing said about that. The new heavens and new earth at the end of the 1,000-year. Remember, so Satan is bound during the 1,000-year reign. The law is written in their hearts, the Jews' hearts, during the 1,000-year reign. No man shall have to teach his neighbor. Jeremiah 31. Okay, the new covenant. That's when it's in place. And then at the end of this, Satan is loose for a little season, and then we have, boom, new heavens, new earth, Satan's bound forever. And
but it doesn't say anything about what happens to everybody.
Nope. Just new heavens and new earth. Okay?
Back to Romans.
Back to the 10 Gospels.
You got to understand it.
Okay. Romans 4, or Revelations chapter 14. Let's actually go to Revelations.
I know where that is. Before the index.
Revelation chapter 14, okay, verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Okay, so there's the everlasting gospel that's preached during, you know, Revelation's all about this period, during the 7-year trib, the everlasting gospel, which is, you know, we can also incorporate the king, gospel of the kingdom, gospel of the circumcision, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? The everlasting gospel, which is verse 7, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Okay, boom, here it is. That's the hour of his judgment right there at the end of the 7 years.
So you're saying this is the gospel that's going to be preached during the
seven-year tribulation,
but also the grace gospel, which is this gospel right now, people are going to
I think I know your question. Let me try answering. If I didn't answer it right, then ask it again, please. So, of course, during this time period, it is the gospel of the grace of God.
Yeah.
Anybody and everybody, anywhere, you don't have to be in a synagogue, can hear the gospel of Christ, how that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and raised again for our justification. Trust in that, we're saved. Now, this period will end with the rapture of the body, the rapture of the church, which is his body. When that happens, the gospel of the grace of God stops. The gospel of the kingdom, the everlasting gospel, is preached. That's the gospel for their salvation at that time. Now, if somebody during this time hears the gospel of the grace of God or the gospel of Christ and tries to follow that for their salvation, doesn't work. That program's over.
Okay. So doesn't that happen because the gospel is always one gospel behind? Or Satan is always one gospel behind?
Yes. It's like we, the people on earth, for the masses, are always one dispensation behind. You know, when Christ was here, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were back here following the Mosaic law. Okay, even after the cross, Peter and the 12 try to start a new church. Here's Paul and the Jews. No, we got to follow the Mosaic law. Then Paul comes in with a new program. Acts 13 is the first time we see him preach it. It's the gospel of Christ. And then that mystery period starts. But most people wanted to follow what? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. One dispensation behind. Which is the question you're asking. And most likely that's what's going to happen out here in the trip. People are going to say, oh, now we get it. But they're going to be a dispensation behind. And no, you can't follow last dispensation's program and expect to be saved by that program.
And who's going to start this new gospel?
The Jews. The Jews will again become God's people right here. They will get it.
It's written on their own.
1st, 2nd Peter. Come back to 1st Peter. So Hebrews through Revelation will be the doctrine for this 7-year period. And of course, 1 Peter is part of that. First Peter chapter 1. Okay, this is going to be tricky now because this is where some pages are falling out. You'd think it would have been in Romans to Philemon, right? Don't like that doctrine? Throw it out of your Bible. Okay. 1 Peter 1, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Okay? This one is the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Come to verse 25. 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Okay, this is out here in this time period. Chapter 2, verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Come down to verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Whoa, the Jews were not a people? Yeah, during the grace dispensation, they were not God's people. They were Lo-Ammi. Remember Acts 28? They become Lo-Ammi, not my people. But now, in this time period, would be another but now, they will become God's people, God's chosen people. Peter says in 2 Peter that there's some things that Paul said that are hard to be understood. Don't let that bother you. Don't go back there and try to get yourself into Paul's writings. Peter's telling them to rightly divide the word of truth. In 2 Peter, chapter 2, chapter 1, chapter 3. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 15. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. As they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Okay, Peter said, don't worry about what Paul said. It's not to you. Okay? Rightly divide the word of truth. Hebrews through Revelation is now the doctrine for this time period. Okay? So even Peter's saying, beware of that.
Can I go back just a little bit to... question of flesh, I mean, physical or glorified body. I was looking in Revelation 14, where we were earlier, but up around, well, from the verse 1 down. I looked up and the Lamb stood on the Mount Zion with him 144,000 going on down. In 3, middle of 3, no man could learn that the song but the 144 and which were redeemed from the earth. And then in 4, these are they which were not defiled with so on and so on. Towards the end there, these are which follow the Lamb's whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and the Lamb. The redeemed part is what it's got my curiosity. If they're redeemed, that connotes that it's the physical body. No?
No, because we're redeemed.
But in the context here.
But I mean, so yes, let me come back to, you know, whenever we do Ephesians 1:13, you know, and we're sealed, right? And I always say, we're sealed unto when? Go to Ephesians 4:30, says here we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30, that's our day of redemption, which when we are redeemed, when we're bought back. Okay? Just like these 144,000 are redeemed here to go into that heavenly city, New Jerusalem. So they're redeemed at that time.
And it just kind of goes on talking about found no guile in their mouth. And in 6, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people.
And see, the redeemed would be the 144,000 in context. And what you were really speaking of is those who would inherit the land.
You're right.
So even then, if what we were talking about is a more of a physical, non-glorified body, then that would exclude that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But, sure, two different ones.
Yeah. So, and the tree of life that's for healing, would that be for those who inherit the land, or would it be for those who are maybe living during that time there?
I believe that is when they inherit the land.
Not those that are just in that time period.
What is the difference?
Meaning the 1,000 years, right?
During that time.
While we're in Revelation, go to chapter 20. I'm going to start in verse 4. I'm going to start in verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Okay, so we're beginning this 1,000 years. Verse 3. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Now watch, here we go. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witnesses of Jesus. That's the 144,000. And for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. I don't think I want to go on anymore after that. It's just this, these different resurrections that are talked about here. Anyway, just so these are where we can find all those. It's a different dispensation. I'm not even going to get through 10 Gospels today, let alone get the verse 2. Okay.
That's why we're
still. Where's our time?
It's 1:15.
Yeah.
It's 11.
Yeah, so tell you what. So for the sake of the tape, let me just finish up these.
Whoa. Wow, there's 5 more to go.
Yeah. Okay, where do I want to go?
We could just look at it for the last minute.
Yeah. These three Gospels really pertain to Israel. The Gospel of the Grace of God, as in Acts 20:24, right, when Paul preaches it there. Again, the Gospel of the Grace of God, which is taking the Gospel of Christ that Paul presents at Romans 1:15-16. For I am not ashamed of the Gospel, for it is the power of... I'm sorry. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the Gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the Gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to everyone that believeth. Now, Gospel of Christ at the end of verse 16 says, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Remember, Acts 16 to Acts 20, Paul always goes to the synagogue at that time. He's still bound by these promises back here in Genesis 12 to go to the Jew first. And Acts 28, let's go ahead and put that on the board. The Jews become Lo Ammi, not my people. I was in a Baptist church Wednesday night and brought that. You know, we went to Hosea 1:9, read that, or I tried to bring them there. And I mean, you talk about deer in the headlights. People don't get that the Jews have become Lo Ammi. They're not God's people today. Majority of churches today are going to, we've got to be aligning with Israel over there today in the year 2014 because of the promise in Genesis 12. No, today it's Lo Ammi, not my people. Now, as soon as this dispensation is over, yes, they will again become God's people. Yes, sir.
Just going back real quick to the previous question for those future dispensations. The tree of life, which bear 12 manner of fruits and yield her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So, in that text right there, nations, I would think that that would exclude those who are resurrected to inherit the land. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
In just that text, in that one verse, I would say they had glorified bodies. And if that's not for them.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I am not a Hebrews or Revelation
guy.
Yeah. I mean, so you're if I'm getting caught up, yeah, if I'm getting caught up in some of this or not knowing some full answers, that's exactly why. That's a future time period. It's got nothing to do with us. And is it good to know? Absolutely. Would I be able to answer the question? Absolutely. Will I learn it someday? Yeah.
It's good to know.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not a good question. I just wish I had the answer. And I'm just...
It's real interesting. You know?
It's a way to say, I'm sorry, I don't know, but I don't know.
We'll edit that part.
Okay.
Close enough.
So anyway, that's the Gospel of the Grace of God. Is now, we're in Romans, Paul still had to go to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Gospel of the Grace of God, which is true today, is that we don't have to align with Israel to hear the Gospel of Christ. Okay? You know, maybe one verse, since we've been there, to end this. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. let's use some verses. So Jerry made a great question slash point over here about people during the trip wanting to go back and follow
the grace,
the gospel of the grace of God, and why they won't be able to. Some people may try to preach it and teach it, but those would be false doctrinal preachers. Okay? It wouldn't be the Jews that understand they should be preaching the everlasting gospel and the gospel of the kingdom. It would be false prophets. Ministers of light. If, you know, Satan and his ministers of light, that's what they'll be preaching. And 2 Thessalonians 2 would be our proof of this, our proof positive, that it won't work. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Start in verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then, okay, and then, so he's taken to the church, which is the body of Christ, is taken out of the way here. He's raptured. And then, verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. That's a key phrase right there. Them that perish. Who are the people that will perish? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Whoa. They heard the gospel of Christ preached in the year 2014. They did not receive it. The opposite of that would then be rejected. They rejected the gospel of Christ. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? They rejected the gospel of Christ. God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Okay, so that's going to be how it will go down during the 7 years. Anybody walking the earth here that heard the gospel of Christ is going to believe a lie during the 7 years, and they'll be damned.
Does that include the Jews too?
That would include anybody that heard the gospel of Christ before the rapture, including a Jewish person.
Well, where does the Jews come in the 7 years?
Those would be Jews that did not hear the gospel of Christ. If they're in synagogues back here, and they're think about those really traditional Jews that wear nothing but the black gowns and they've got the beards. You know, New York City's got a whole community of them. They may never hear the gospel of Christ. When they get here, and probably over in Israel, there's probably a bunch of those Jews as well. And they're in the synagogue. Okay? They'll get it. They'll understand. Because they're all about Old Testament. Boy, they know it well. Yeah, thanks. Many of them would probably even have it memorized. So they're going to get it that just what Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. I bet you they're going to be saying in Acts 2 right there, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. We're in it, gang. Everlasting gospel. Fear God. Hold out to the end. Do not take the mark of the beast. Well, you can sure see that happening. I don't have my phone, it's over there, but iPhone 6, and that's going to be our currency, right? Well, you can sure see the mark of the beast lining up. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know what it is, because I know it's going to be on their forehead or on their wrist. Oh, there's an apple on their wrist now, coming out soon. Who knows? Let's cut it before I really get myself in trouble.
So, Steve, you got non-gospel that I see right there.